Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
That was the Growlers with
Caitlin. Tell It How It Is. Asking us what that song was. So
Caitlin's making some kind of playlist and harvesting all our songs.
Rita, are you there?
Are you there, Rita?
Yeah, yeah. Kia ora. How are you guys?
Good. And yourself?
Week 1,000 of lockdown, or so it feels.
Is there a lockdown on?
And have you been have you guys been cranking Lee Scratch Perry this afternoon?
Cranking what?
We have played some Lee Scratch Perry.
We played
Forest Swords, Thor Stone, Lee Scratch Perry mix, which you've probably only ever heard on the show, actually.
There you go.
I would tell you, we could have played a lot because I've actually been playing a lot of recent Lee Scratch Perry releases. So, I mean, strong body of work there. You can go in all sorts of directions.
It's amazing. A huge loss, but there's some seriously good musicians up in the afterlife at this point, isn't there?
Yeah.
So I thought today there was quite a bit of chat about whitebait being on the list of things that you can do under level 4.
What?
And that's raised a few eyebrows.
What about floundering?
No, I don't think that if you could. Well, I don't know how you flounder, to be fair. So
you go out into the flats. It's kind of a similar situation. You just go out into like estuary sort of vibes and sort of like shin deep, and you just sort of stab the fish with a stick.
That is a good question. I'm not sure. I know that you can fish from a wharf or the rocks, maybe, but you can't go on a boat.
No, you don't need a boat for floundering. So.
Yeah, I would have thought floundering was probably okay, but don't listen to me on
what
that.
What about
eeling?
I just know
about the white bait.
Can I grab some eels? Do you know?
Well, yes, because eels, very badly actually, are not protected in this country.
Okay.
Something that needs to change massively, and there is a petition that's going to government early next year, so I will talk to you guys about that another week. But it's devastating that our eels aren't protected. It's crazy.
Okay, well, let's get into this whitebait situation then. What's the skinny?
Yeah, so the whitebait season starts the 1st of September, which I think is tomorrow.
2 days. 31st tomorrow.
Thank you. 2 days' time. They all just merged into one, don't they? So I guess it was raised whether or not people could go whitebaiting. And then it just made me have a think about how there's probably a bunch of things people don't really... Like, there's a whole lot of foods we probably realise aren't great to eat. There's some that we probably don't realise are faves and actually aren't great to eat. So I thought I'd talk about those because whitebait is one of those, and I was an eater of whitebait for some years before I realised. But
is whitebait... Is it like a baby fish? Is it potentially going to be a bigger fish at some point?
So is it, it is.
That doesn't sound good, eh? That doesn't sound good. You're eating hundreds of thousands instead of one fish.
Yeah, totally. So 3 of the 5 species that we catch in our waters whitebaiting in New Zealand are at risk and endangered and declining. So, you know, not only are you catching babies that will never make it to adulthood, you're catching... species that are actually given the same category as most of our kiwi are.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it's pretty sad, really. And my favourite one is the short-jawed kokopu, who is actually a very beautiful fish when they get to adulthood. And the cool thing about whitebait is they actually have a really... Like, they're actually all just native freshwater fish. They're just babies. We call them whitebait. And what's so wonderful about them is they've got a really unique life cycle. So the eggs are laid in the riverbanks and they just sort of sit there in the riverbanks. And then when there's a big flood, they get washed downstream. And then they spend the first... Sorry, they hatch and get washed downstream. And then they spend the first...
That's why they're swimming back, I see.
Yeah, they spend the first 6 months of their life actually in the ocean as little tiny things. And then they one day decide to make their way back to fresh water. So that's at the point where they get caught, because usually white baiting is kind of occurs, you know, not far up the river from that river mouth. So, you know, they're just, you know, and the way that they white bait, it's pretty, look, the thing though that to point out is that there's no catch limit in New Zealand, and you can actually commercially sell.
You'd have to do the limit by weight. You know, it couldn't be like that. And also, like, oh, that white bait's too small. What?
You totally do a white bait.
Only 20 white bait, thank you.
Yeah, let's just
hold. Yeah, no. You definitely do a white bait. But there's no catch limit in New Zealand. And you can actually legally sell white bait without any, like, permit.
Sometimes I see it on Facebook Marketplace quite a bit.
Yeah, totally. So you can just... So it's kind of weird. It's kind of like you're catching these, like, baby endangered species and you can sell them. Like, it's a potential
it's
money
like a
maker.
Caviar. It's a caviar market, really.
Yeah. It's just crazy. So, and I guess it's worth pointing out, though, that the reason you're in decline and endangered isn't because of white baiting. It is because
it's
the season's actually quite short. It's because of the... Yeah, it's because of the...
The white bait fritter. Send in your best white bait fritter recipe to 5395. Let's really wind Rita up while we've got her on the phone. sorry.
Yeah,
mate,
it's
sorry.
For the reason that they're actually in decline is because of the state of our waters. We've got some of the worst waters in the world.
Oh,
we've talked
classic.
About so
is this really it?
Before.
It just comes right back around to the cows. Sons of bitches.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. It does. I mean, some of the, like, we've got nitrogen levels higher than some of the worst polluted waters in the world, including the Thames, including China. Like, yeah, and that's why they can't live. You know,
this is actually kind of good news because I thought they were like overfished, but obviously, yeah, this makes way more sense. A lot more of a reaching problem,
and
isn't
also, it? It's also quite territorial. Like people have like had their little like their huts forever or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it's like it's managed, like self-managed in some respects, and that's why they haven't had to put catch limits in or stop selling of it, commercially without licenses or whatever. But yes, if we could clean up the rivers, then that would actually be quite a great commercial fishery for us, I guess. While they're in dangers and our waters are declining, then, you know, it's a really terrible thing to
see. It's such a metaphor that, like, the rivers, you know, like, the health of the water is kind of the veins of the earth, you know. So if that shit's clogged up with crap, we're all going to be clogged up with crap, you know.
Yeah, if you look at, Māori, I guess, beliefs, there's probably a better word for it, excuse me, but I guess their belief system is, there's some really beautiful sayings around how the health of the waterway is actually reflective of the society.
Facts.
And, and it's so true. Like, you go to those towns that have awful, awful waterways, and their towns are awful. Like, you know, it's such a shame that we don't see this holistically. Such an important thing, and I think we've talked about it before, but I'll say it again, like, because every time I say it people freak out, but one of the best things we could do is pay the Waikato farmers to stop farming or to farm a lot less.
Yeah,
because it would clean up the Waikato. It would mean that we've got access to fresh water. That river is horrific.
Oh, it's getting hammered in all different angles. I'm actually just thinking,
absolutely,
Rita.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking all these people. We're all just kind of old and stuck in our ways, right? Is there anything in schools for like a class in schools that just teaches, I guess, you know, Pākehā, for lack of a better word, or people that aren't of like that realm of like hearing about the land or being one with it? Is there a class that just teaches people like how to live harmoniously with nature rather than trying to fight it going forward? Because I feel like we need to teach this next generation, because we've obviously not the ones to make this change, you know?
No, unfortunately there's not. And I guess...
Do you know what I mean?
You know, and in fact, in a lot of places, there's the opposite. Like, Dairy NZ actually have, like, funded programs.
Yeah, see, this is the issue, right? It's a massive money realm that we're just stuck in, and really there's no, like... deeply connective, sort of. It's very
but
detached.
I don't think the younger generation is stupid. Like, they know.
No, not at all. But we're the ones supposed to be teaching them. So if there's a new, better way that we should be doing it, how are we going to do it if we're not teaching them? You know, if we're just all bitching on our social media things, that's not really getting into like the schooling of like the children. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I imagine the pushback would be huge, because if you think about even just trying to educate anyone on...
But there's pushback for everything. Like, it would just be like one little class, you know? Like, it's not like the whole school. I just feel like just like you learn maths, just like you learn English, just like you learn science, maybe a biodiverse, like, living thing should be, something that you learn, you know? Because it's obviously something we're going to need going forward.
Totally. I do think though that it is our responsibility. I think it's pretty sink to say, oh, we're gonna use all the resources we're gonna use because we're old dogs that can't be taught new tricks, and you guys can just fix it.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, realistically, I think there needs to be like a teaching, an actual teaching at some point at like a young level, you know, in order for this stuff to really grab hold and for things to change.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I can't imagine the school system changing quickly because they're fighting even having, you know, New Zealand history being taught in schools. So I think there's a long way to go in that space, and it's probably our responsibility as parents, those of us that have kids, to be teaching our kids about this stuff.
Right.
Which, you know, I've got kids, it's very hard to get, like, they understand, and my son goes and picks up, like, plastic because he doesn't want to hurt the Earth Mother. But at the same time, he wants Pokemon, you know? So it is hard to explain, well, the Pokemon hurts the Earth Mother too, you know?
Ah, the Pokey!
So, but he's kind of young, but, you know, that's something that I've been, you know, very mindful of as a parent. So, hey, look, I'll run through the other things. Some of them we'll know about. So we obviously know about meat being amazing. There was a great term that I've actually never come across before, which is quite surprising, but I've been seeing used more and more and more, is the term industrial meat, which I'm like, yes, that captures it really nicely. So it's very much so that fat-free, farmed or very inappropriately farmed meat. So, you know, in some of our areas where, you know, there's rolling hills and they've already been deforested, yes, we should probably reforest them, but having some lamb roaming around on them, eating them, isn't going to, you know, be the worst thing in the world at this point. It's the places like Southland where we're putting animals, and it's basically a wetland, and it's just not made for that. Or places where we're putting too many cows on, and we're having to fertilize, which causes runoff.
There should be an amount that you have to change a place to service something. Maybe that's not the place to be servicing that thing, you know?
There needs to be a
scale here. Someone's just said a conscious awareness class, perhaps. Like, yeah, something like that. Like, how to live in harmony with your surroundings without fucking putting concrete all over it. You know,
totally.
Like, some kind of class that just teaches you how to dig a hole rather than, like, fucking digging a hole and jumping in it, you know?
Yeah. Look, I mean, you know, my son, we've looked at doing, there's forest schools popping up. So they do that sort of stuff with them, which is...
You think about, go even further into, like, Chinese medicine, all the things that are of the earth that can fix you and help you, that may take a little bit longer, but are actually overall way more harmonious for you and the environment, you know? Like, it'd be really cool.
Totally.
Why aren't we doing that?
I like it.
Why aren't we doing that shit?
We know about dairy not being amazing for pretty much the same reasons as meat. There's massive, massive irrigation that is needed in dairy. And if you go to a place and you haven't been there for ages, like outside of Auckland where dairying is existing, you'll notice that they've quite often have cut down all the trees. Like, there used to be a row of trees between the paddocks.
You've got to give the cows a view, don't you? It's a bit rude if you don't, so...
They've cut them all down so they can run the irrigation machines. That's just one small thing. But we know about dairy, you know, it's not amazing. So both meat and dairy, try to support artisan kind of smaller farms, look at their practices, and just don't eat it as often.
The worst part about dairy is it's got me hating cows, and cows are fucking cute as shit.
No,
I don't hate cows. If you look at a cow, the big old eyeballs all looking at you like a whale, like, I don't know, I'm just a fucking, and it's like, yeah, it's not your fault, dude, actually, I quite like you. It's just that you and all your mates have been marooned here for, like, so I can have a boig. Sweet.
Yeah, I've read a really sad paper about how cows have evolved to have less maternal instinct, and the ones that don't survive, they get things like mastitis because they're stressed because their babies have been taken away from them. Like, as a mother, that's disgusting. Like, it's just so horrific. And then it's so weird because we strip everything out of the milk anyway, and it's sort of like just this kind of product. It's like, can't we just make that synthetically? It's
right.
Very bizarre. Anyway, the other one is any food that's used to feed animals. So palm kernels, soy, maize, corn, that sort of stuff. We're farming... you know, mass monoculture of the, you know, fields and fields and fields of these with all sorts of problems around soil depletion, soil erosion, not to mention any kind of deforestation that happened because of it. So those ones, and then Palm Kernel pops up again. And number five, Palm Kernel, is gnarly, man. I went to Borneo. We were flying across Borneo, and I looked down, and I was like, where are we supposed to land? Like, the entire place looked like it was on fire. It was horrific.
Same with Malaysia, but it, was, it wasn't on fire. It was just full of palm trees. And I was like, man, that looks really out of it. Doesn't look natural at all.
It's really sad. It's really sad.
Yeah.
And we went to this place where it was like a river viewing, or, you know, you could go down a river and see all these animals. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. But when we saw it from the sky, it was actually, they had like this 2 kilometer kind of like corridor along the river, and then of natural vegetation, and then the rest of it was all palm kernels, so palm trees. So they've kind of done it so that they could keep the tourism, but not, so these animals are like squished into this tiny corridor. It was awful. These ones are going to surprise you and probably make you a little bit sad.
I've heard soy is pretty much over-caned now, eh? We need to find another little angle there.
Yeah, so sugar, coffee, and chocolate.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, just like a few of the heavy hitters there.
I know, I was saving that one, right? They're often grown in sensitive areas. You know, they need to be warm kind of climate, special sort of climates, I guess. And these tend to happen around like the equator, and those are the highest biodiversity areas, density.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the leading cause of deforestation, mass destruction of biodiversity, soil erosion, and then not to mention all the processing, the chemicals that come with processing, and then all the mileage to get them to us. So that is hugely disappointing, but reading about it, there is some coffee that they're trying to grow in New Zealand, but again, I'm like, it's not really appropriate. They'll probably put in a lot of input. That is probably going to be the hardest one for me to give up as an environmentalist. Coffee, I'm like, oh. The other one that was quite surprising, well, not surprising to me because I've seen it for myself, but for a lot of people, I think, is bananas. So, the habitat conversion is also awful, but a lot of it's mainly because the chemicals in the food. It's the highest agrochemical use in the world for food. The first is cotton, but that's not a food. So it's quite often really hazardous chemicals and often occurring in badly regulated countries. So I know we went to Panama and went down like banana areas, and there was areas they just wouldn't even let us go down, and there were people that were like stories about people having major deformities, and you know, and the water wasn't clean. It's just a kind of a pretty horrific kind of crop. Again, one of the highest, one of the most eaten crops in the world as well, which is a bit of a shame.
We love our bananas in this country. I think per capita we eat the most bananas in all of the world.
Yeah, we're one of the things that's quite
hard. I mean, we're a Pacific nation. You know, we're just a little island down here, just fucking na-na-na-na.
Yeah, totally.
I had a plantain the other day, and it blew my mind. It's kind of like chewy. It's really rad. I quite like
it.
Yeah. So it was a standalone event, you know what I mean?
I'll say through these last ones. So salmon and prawns. So
I just bought some salmon.
Yeah.
Salmon's terrible,
Contamination of the surrounding waters is pretty awful with both of them. And they take about 3 to 5 kilos. I've even seen prawns at 3 to 8 kilos of fish needed to produce 1 kilo of prawn meat. So, and salmon's about 3 kilos of fish meal to make 1 kilo of salmon. So it's kind of pretty unsustainable. And then two more that will surprise you, but not rice. It uses a lot of water.
Yeah,
and it's also the largest producer of methane on the planet. So that's a really hard one, though, because it's a staple for the third world. So you sort of go, well, they can probably have that, man. You know, I don't know. Until we sort our stuff out.
It's such bang for buck, rice.
It's a tricky one. And then the last one I've got here is mineral water. So 5.5 billion bottles a year.
What?
How is that?
Mineral
it takes
water.
3 liters of water to produce 1 liter of bottled water.
No, Rita, don't tell me these things, please.
And 17 million barrels of oil, which is about the equivalent of 1 million cars a year, and 80% of the bottles can't be recycled. So you're looking at, you know, four billion plus that can't be recycled. And just very quickly rattling through some good food. So So seaweed is great.
That's the new one, it comes in.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I just don't understand why they have to serve it in that plastic. But I guess to keep it fresh. But yeah, it's not ideal that the plastic. Beans are a great one. They're low water content that's needed to grow them, and really high in protein. In that same vein, lentils. And then, this will surprise you, cactus.
Cacti.
Yeah.
The world should be eating cacti and mushrooms, man. Go for it. Just get in there.
Yeah, so mushrooms is on this list. Mushrooms are great. Cereal, so some specific cereals like buckwheat, millet, quinoa. So obviously where it's appropriate, so you don't really want to be trying to grow quinoa, you know, in the wrong place.
You can grow mushrooms in your cupboard.
You can, you can. And in containers, like there's companies that sell them out of containers, like grow them in containers and, you know, and they're commercially, like, they're pumping out enough of them to be commercially feasible. So, you know, they don't take a lot. And fruit, local fruit and veggies, that's one of our favourites, right? So in-season vegetables and fruit is the way to go there. Apples, pears, oranges and root vegetables are top of the list. If you can grow your own, even better. One of the things that I've started doing recently is, over the last year or so, is growing my own lettuce. So even you can do that in pots. And one of the reasons was because I was spending a fortune on lettuce. And, it goes a bit crap after a few days. And I never bought it in the plastic after, you know, like haven't bought it in plastic for years. But the yummy stuff is always in plastic. Mm. So it just makes sense to grow your own. And in winter, I don't even water it. I just plant it and then it just does its own thing. And the trick is to plant a whole lot of them, but wait. Like plant some and then a week later plant another, then plant another. Because or else what happens is what I did the first time round. You get 30 lettuces all ready at once.
Somebody's just texting in asking if Aotearoa does anything right environmentally. Question mark, crying emoji, crying emoji. Don't know.
Yeah.
Do you? That's really the question, you know.
I'm going to say the last one because I really love it.
You're going to what now?
Mussels, the last food. And we do those. We do those really well in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
Mussels,
respect
there's no
the bycatch
and they're filter feeder. So they actually help clean the water as well. And we're great at mussels. I mean, it does kind of,
mussels.
You know, there's a visual impact there. But, you know, New Zealand has historically had a very good environmental record. And maybe it's something I have to focus on one day is some of the big environmental things that happen that make us quite a cool nation from an environmental point of view. But we've lost that. I think we've lost the ability to go, we should do this.
Just
like,
going back to
that.
You growing your lettuce as well, I feel like we've kind of lost that sort of 80s, shit, look at my garden kind of vibe. And I feel like if we got
totally.
That back, that would get rid of quite a lot of just wastage in food in general. Because especially when you're buying produce, like you say, if you don't get through it, it's wasted. You know, so if you're growing that, you can just go down to the garden and grab what you need. I mean...
And it's really lovely. I mean, you know, even if you don't have a huge garden, like, look at what you eat regularly and just try and grow that. And like I say, for me, a no-brainer with lettuce because I love salads.
So that's the first thing to go, though, if I'm, like, on a budget. I'm like, I'm not going to buy fucking lettuce. I'm like, hell no, I'm not buying that. You know, because it's just, like, such a filler item. But it's
filler food,
necessary.
Well, I mean, but they're so easy to grow. Like, it's just crazy. Especially in winter, like I say, there's no... I don't really do anything. I just plant them and then, you know, go and harvest them after a while. The other one's kale. It's really super easy and can grow in a pot. And once you've nailed kale chips, game changer.
Kale's kind of a son of a bitch, though. It's sort of, it's a bit of a maverick renegade. Doesn't like to play ball. It's a bit stiff.
No, what do you mean, growing-wise?
It's just a bit stiff. It's a stiff old item. You got to really break it down.
You just need to know how to cook it.
This is what I'm getting at. Maybe stuff like this we should be teaching.
The old kale chips, honestly, they're so good. So good.
All right, Rita. Well, we could sit here and imagine a snack all evening, but we should probably move on. Thanks for ending with some good ones. That's always
a treat. You guys have a good week.
What I got from that whole thing was just the cows problem once again.
Oh, no, remember the cows aren't the problem.
Not the cows,
it's
the
what we're doing with the cows that's
right,
the problem.
Guns don't kill people. Guns kill cows. I got it. Okay. We will catch you next week.
See you guys.
Bye. Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.